What I love about dogs always is just that they're just always there for you. They live in the moment. They're so happy to see you always. They're just so unconditionally loving. Now with her, she's a link to someone that I loved very much. He was my best friend at work. So she's really special because of that.
This was Jane Trent, the secretary of the math department, talking about her 14-year-old border collie, Maggie. I'm Meredith Block.
And I'm Ishka Rogbier. A while ago, we headed to the Lafayette Math Department to ask Ms. Trent to tell us more about the unconventional story of how she got Maggie.
I inherited her about 2 years ago. She was owned by a professor in this department who died suddenly, and his children were cat people. So, long story, she became my girl. I knew her when I came here, and that was 10 years ago. So that's when I met her. So she was in her prime, I'd say. She was 4 or 5 years old.
Miss Trent's adoption of Maggie is an interesting and unique story. We wondered how the transition of owners affected Maggie and Miss Trent's relationship.
She's much sadder, I think. She's much more subdued than she was with her owner. She's more self-contained, I think, since he's gone. And she's a little more wary of things.
Caroline Knapp explains in her book, Pack of Two, that raising a dog is harder than anticipated because there really is no, quote, fantasy dog. Since the transition was difficult for both of them, we asked Miss Trent what she thought about Knapp's idea of the unanticipated difficulty of being a dog owner.
I have to say yes and no. Since I knew her beforehand, it was easier, but she's a lot more challenging than I expected because of the kind of dog she is. She's a quiet dog, but yet she has very high activity needs. She needs a lot longer walks and a lot more playtime. She has tremendous stamina, which is good, but that was a big adjustment.
As Alexandra Horowitz explains in her best-selling book Inside of a Dog, dogs become very close to their owners and begin to pick up on their habits. We found it interesting that Miss Trent had to adjust to Maggie just as much as Maggie had to adjust to her.
I know her a lot better now, and I understand her a lot better. I didn't raise her from a puppy, so I have a hard time reading her still. She's not very demonstrative. She's not all over you. She's not constantly demanding attention. She's a very different kind of dog. But in 2 years, I've learned to read her better. I have a better sense of when she whimpers what she wants. If she's bored, it could be she has to go to the bathroom. It could be she wants to play. She could be hungry. It could be a lot of things. We're getting to know each other. I think she thinks I'm getting smarter, because she knows she's very clear, and her owner would have understood her perfectly. But not knowing her from puppyhood, I don't understand her.
According to Horowitz, over time, dogs learn the route themselves and can anticipate each turn.
Horowitz also describes that dogs easily adjust to new routes just after a few outings. However, this doesn't seem to be characteristic of Maggie.
Border collies do not like change at all. They like to do the same thing all the time. When I go to my car at night to go home, I have to walk the same way through campus. And if she doesn't like it, she's going to pull me in which way she thinks is the right way. She has to come in the house through a certain door. She's very OCD in many things. I've read that this is very typical of the breed.
Given that Miss Trent owned mixed breed dogs before Maggie, we asked her if she noticed any difference between purely bred dogs and Mutt.
I don't think their personality was that much different, but they were healthier. I have never had as many vet issues with a dog as I've had with Maggie. Urinary tract infections, skin problems. She had a couple ear infections. She just seems to have, is not a good immune system. So I think the Mutt dogs are healthier. That's been my experience. My sister's a scientist, and she says they have a plastic gene pool that the genes have all mixed and mingled that gives them hybrid vigor. There's some kind of term.
Hybrid vigor, as explained by Stefan Budiansky in The Truth About Dogs, reduces the probability of genetic diseases or other undesirable traits being transmitted from one generation to another. To learn more about the biology of hybrid vigor, we met with Professor Butler from the biology department. He gave an interesting analogy using brownie recipes to represent the dog's genes and cake to represent the physical appearance of a dog.
You're looking at one thing, the cake, and you're doing a good job of that, but the other stuff is coming along for the ride, and if you don't get any mixing, you just kind of get stuck with a crappy recipe for something else. mutts, things that are constantly like interbred, it's going to be harder for there to be only one version of a recipe because there's constantly this mixing amongst all of them because you're always mixing the shuffling of the deck.
Miss Trent had a few more things to add about Maggie before we left.
I can tell you I would never want another border collie. Just having to be busy all the time. She really doesn't have an off switch. I've never had a dog this pretty. So I'm used to it now, but people stop and just say how pretty she is. And I'm just not, because I've had Labradors and mixed dogs that just look like, you know, basic dogs. Mm-hmm. But she's a striking animal. Yeah, that look is just amazing to me. I've never had a dog make eye contact like she does. Never. I can't keep my eyes
off of you. We learn from Horowitz that, quote, there is a certain satisfaction in gazing deep into a dog's eyes, gazing back at you.
Eye contact is, in fact, one of the most important features that allowed dogs to create this intricate and wonderful bond with human beings throughout the years. According to Horowitz, the fact that dogs look us in the eye allows us to treat them as a little more human than other animals. Treating dogs equally to humans has become a common theme throughout the evolution of dog-to-human relationships. We would like to thank Ms. Trent and Maggie for sharing their experience with us.
And to all the animal lovers listening to us today, we hope that this podcast was able to remind you why the human-dog relationship is so unique and special.